That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due to Allah. I praise him. I seek his assistance. I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the one with no partner, and I bear witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his servant and his messenger. All praise is due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings be on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise is due to Allah, who sent down upon his book, upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayat. I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessings and my favor upon you and chose al-Islam as your way of life. All praise is due to Allah, who united the hearts of the believers with al-Islam and has made it an obligation to remain united and has made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise you, as well as I advise myself, first to have consciousness, awareness, taqwa, regard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, again I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Juma Mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Alif Lam Mim Sad. Kitabun Uzila Ilayka Fala Yahkun Fi Sadri Ka Hrajun Minhu Letun Dik Letun Thira Bihi Wa Thikra Lil Mu Muminin Ittabi'u ma uzala ilaykum min rabbikum wala tattabi'u min thunihi awliya kawlilan ma Karun. We say Salakallah Wadeen. The expression for this ayat is Alif Lam Mim Sad. This is a book revealed to you. Let there be no impediment in your heart about it, that you may thereby warn the unbelievers, that it may be a reminder to the believers. Follow what has been revealed to you from your Lord and follow no master other than him. Little are you admonished. That is the first through the third ayat of the seventh surah of the Quran. And we say, surely Allah speaks the truth. Today's goodbye title: the Quran is an ideology. The Quran is an ideology, declaration of dependence. Declaration of dependence. In reported hadiths, one from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he reported the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, saying, verily, Allah has his own people among humanity. And they said, O Messenger of Allah, who are they? The Prophet responded, they are the people of the Quran and the people of Allah and his chosen ones. Awf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, peace and blessings upon him, obey me as long as I am here with you. You must hold firmly to the verses of Allah and permit what they permit and forbid what they forbid. Now again, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is He. For this is something we must learn to do as often as we learn to subconsciously breathe. We must learn to always thank Allah. Again, we are inside of this time in history that the world is changing. The world has changed and is still changing. And our names will be on the scrolls of those who were here during this time. And as we can see by the dates, we're entering the 4th of July weekend. Now, the debate was going on that, does our community of descendants of slaves need to continue to celebrate it or not? Or should we have been celebrating it at all? Well, again, we thank Allah because He has made the answer quite clear. In fact, the pandemic is still going on so strong that truly nobody should be celebrating this as they normally would. Now, I'm going to say that, and it comes, from some discussion that's been going on strong. It started on the internet with some countries sending some shouts out to us in America that maybe we should look at other countries to move to. And I look at it at the way I've been taught by Imam Muhammad, radiallahu anhu, that this is the best place for us with our background to establish what we have been given to do. Do we think that Allah has not understood our plight? Not understood what we have to overcome? Not understood the uphill battle we face? I believe the bigger issue is that the opposition we face for numerous reasons is there because others who wish for the power of Allah not to be shown here in America. As Allah says in the Quran, they wish to extinguish the light of Allah. The feelings toward us as a people and the end of something that was doomed to fail from the beginning all contribute to that, to what we have faced and still face in this country, and really face it around the world. And I bring this up to say that when we receive the covenant from Allah, we have to fulfill our obligations. Allah says to us, "This is a book revealed to you. Let there be no impediment in your heart about it." When we have to deal with these ills of society, the darkness we live in, Allah is telling us that He has sent something to settle that uneasy feeling in our hearts. We have a feeling of uncertainty during these times. And this is quite natural. This was also how Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, how he felt when he was going through the time when he was being revealed the Quran and was up against the same type of opposition. Allah has revealed something to us. Now we know that the Quran is from Allah given to all of humanity to be able to live through these and all the times in history that have weighed heavy on our hearts. And let me first explain my title for this khutbah. It was taken from a quote from Imam Muhammad, radiallahu anhu. He said, "The Quran is an ideology." So let us first look at the meaning of ideology. Let's look at one meaning. A set of beliefs or principles, especially one on which a political system, a party, or organization is based. Now, I've had this quote for a while, and I knew I wanted to work on it. But for something to only have five words, and really inside of that five word statement, there's only really two words that mean something. But it's so rich, so profound. And I bring it up today on July 3rd because tomorrow, the day America celebrates the Declaration of Independence. Brothers and sisters, the Declaration of Independence is an ideology. It is a set of beliefs or principles on which a political system, a party, or organization is based. And it also forms the basis of an economic policy. And we must understand exactly what this means to this country and for us as citizens of it. And yes, we're citizens of it. That's why we're Muslim Americans. We know it was not designed for us in mind outwardly. Outwardly. And what do I mean by that? In 1776, the Declaration was signed. In 1787, the 3/5 compromise was put into the Constitution that declared slaves only three-fifths of a human being. Now, this was added because of, and I believe in history, you know, can tell us that, yes, they did not want the slaves to have any rights under this new independence that was now happening. They did not want them to be able to vote. They did not want them to be able to have any type of say or power in this new independence. They wanted to keep it for those stockholders. Stakeholders, excuse me. My bad. That was a slip. Stakeholders. Property owners, wealthy, in control of the new country. Can we still see that today? This ideology has not changed. They still want to stop us from voting. But there was a flaw inside of the Declaration of Independence, and please understand this is not a bashing party. Now, I'm not sitting here saying let's all throw away our citizenship. This is an education. This is for the benefit of understanding. And I'm not doing a U.S. history class, but this is necessary for the topic. When we look at the Declaration, and I happen to have a copy right here that will be here at the Masjid, because as we see, you know, we'll see that we are in there. But on paper, in theory, we're in there. Imam Muhammad Arayulanu has gone over the Declaration many times and seen the good that is in it for us to take out of it. But let me mention this. You know, there's a story about an agreement that was made in Mecca. And they were boycotting the Muslims, and really they included everyone from the clan of Banu Hashim, right? Meaning that there were non-Muslims involved. They were boycotting the whole clan, the whole family. Everyone in authority had assigned it to agree not to sell, to buy, to marry, to do anything with them. It was designed to hurt them, to weaken them, and try to end the movements of growth of Al-Islam and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet was given an inspiration, and he sent his uncle Abu Talib to Mecca to make a deal. Abu Talib met with the Quraysh leadership, and he told them, "My nephew has said the treaty you have written has been eaten by bugs, except for the name of God. Bismillah. See the treaty yourself, and if he is right, end the boycott. And if he is wrong, I will hand him over to you." And when the Quraysh leaders went to check the treaty, which happened to be inside of the Kaaba, they were shocked to see that it was eaten by bugs except for in the name of God. Therefore, the boycott ended, and Banu Hashim were free to leave the valley. I bring this up because that was the same type of declaration signed in Mecca that they signed here back in the 1700s. Because it was a system of ideas. It was a policy. This is what leaders who believe in the same common beliefs do. So now let's go back to this, what we're dealing with today, inside of this document. There were three main factors. And it is in these that I believe Allah had his hand over it. When they realized it, they went to amend some things. But first, people have inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right? When Allah says to us in the Quran, "Nay, I call to witness this land in which thou art free to dwell." Allah had already given us the basic human rights, and that we are free to live our lives with liberty and happiness, exactly what the statement just said. Let me end right here, then I'll come back to the rest so I can get rolling. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Amen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The Quran is an ideology, declaration of dependence. Declaration of dependence. Next it says, all men are created equal. Right? Allah has told us in the Quran, O men, behold, we have created you all out of a male and a female, and have made you into nations and tribes, so that you may come to know one another. And the Prophet, peace and blessed be upon him, said that there's no superiority over a black over a white, white over a black, an Arab over a non-Arab. There's no superiority. So we have already been given the fact that we're created equal and come from the same source. We are different because it's the plan of Allah to have us to come together. So the last point that I took out of this document. Have a civic duty to defend the rights for themselves and others. Now, when they amended the Constitution, it was to take away those rights we have been given by God. And over the 400 plus years, we have been fighting to get those back. Not because they believe that we do not deserve them, but because we have been given the rights by our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till this day, they are still working to stop us from having any say in this country, to having any dignity in our humanity. They do this because they have accepted the ideology, their ideology. And I'm not going into this document like that because the paper is words. The actions of what the paper started is what the ideology is. You know, it's a position. Let me give you now a definition of ideology. A manner or content of thinking characteristic of an individual group or culture. Right? Learned behaviors. A culture of this type of thinking. You know, a culture can contain bacteria. Right? Tissue cells. Or maybe even a virus. Just look at the language. Just look at the language. A culture is what we're dealing with. This is the thinking of a culture. How many years are we from 1776? And I have to admit, I did the math earlier in the week, but I did let Alexa give me the answer. 244, and the same thinking is still here. The same wrongs we had then are still here. And with the main 3 points of the Declaration being something that Allah has already put out there for humanity before this, the major flaw of it is that they decided to declare their independence from Britain. Right? This is what the whole thing was about. Because they wanted to be from up under an iron grip. Right? But they ended up declaring their independence from Allah instead. Not that Britain was God, though they thought they were, because when you feel that the empire on which the sun never sets, then there's definitely some arrogance in that. So no need to wonder why others took that arrogance, where they got that arrogance from, right? Like father, like son. When we study the Quran and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has told us that this background, right? He has given this background to us. When he says to us in the Quran, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. The shaitan thinks himself as better than someone else. Remember, this is an idea. This is an idea. These ideas that have been nurtured through many years. We're up against something from the time Allah said he was going to make a khalifa on the earth. And the shaitan is an idea. Now let's back to the start. When you make a declaration, you are making an announcement, right? This is a conviction. Right? This means holding you got a firm held belief in something. Right? When we say Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, we're declaring our belief that there is only one God and that Muhammad is his messenger. As we move on from that statement, we know that from that point on, we are no longer independent. Now, we have become independent in our thoughts because most of us came from a background that was not al-Islam. We have now, since we made that declaration, become solely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says to us, he says, this book revealed to you, let there be no impediment in your heart about it. So this revealed is in unzila. It's the same meaning that I mentioned in the last kibbah, or the kibbah before, nazala, right? It means being sent, revealed, it descends, but it also means it happens. Allah has allowed it to happen that we have been given this book. The Quran is to address the secrets of the heart. That's what it's saying. You know, and this is a healing. You know, because some secrets can tear you apart. Some secrets have torn families apart. Some secrets have torn or are tearing countries apart right now. When we have an impediment, it means a hindrance or an obstruction in doing something. So the word is hadrijah. It means to be contracted, become narrow. When we think about the physical heart, this is the condition that we would definitely like to avoid, right? If the blood flow in your heart comes through a narrow veins, that's a problem. If your heart only constricts but never, that's a problem. But we're looking at it in a non-physical sense, right? We're going to the next level. Because the ayah says, sadra, it is a feeling of the heart. It is translated heart because inside of the meaning, it means chest, heart, bosom. But with the action of the Quran being sent, this is, and that's in a form four, that means it's causing the heart to overcome the feelings inside of it. When it becomes narrow, you are becoming narrow in your thinking. Can we see that right now today? It is the narrow thinking people that believe in their hearts as to what is right that is causing the world to have to look at itself. To re-examine these things that they thought were just okay. It was the narrow thinking in their hearts that caused this problem. But if we let the Quran do what it has been given to do to us, it can relieve all of those constrictions. That narrowness of our feelings we have. You know, this word also means oppressed. I bring this because it's not uncommon for an oppressed people to turn around and oppress themselves. It is the conditioning over hundreds of years that when you plant something, after so long, it will survive by itself. Look at the trees. It's a sign. How many weeks ago were there no leaves on the trees? Weeks ago. And look at them now, full. Every limb with a leaf on it. Bunches of leaves. Who planted them? Are they here coming every day making sure that tree is getting water, getting nourishment? No, once you planted the seeds of oppression, it will manifest on its own over after some time. And the problem is with that is the sooner or later they thought they didn't know that people was going to wake up from that coma they put them in. We're looking at the Quran as an ideology. Declaration of dependence. Allah has given us his Quran to ease those feelings we have in our hearts. We know the word. The word hadrijah. It also means crying. And earlier I mentioned that is a conviction to believe something firmly, right? When you make that declaration, you know, it's a conviction. Well, it is a crime against humanity to have the Quran and not let it lead us where we should be. We should be convicted for the failure of duty. Have you heard that this week? Is this basically the basis saying you failed to do your duty? They use a different word. This is why Allah then says that you may thereby warn that it may be a reminder to the believers. We are to admonish with it. We ain't got, like I said, we don't have to be going on, you know, corner with no loudspeaker talking about you going to hell if you don't get right. The most important idea we should have as humanity is that Allah is God. We are created to be dependent on Allah. This is for those who don't know and for those who do. Right? It is to be a dhikr. Dhikr. Dhakara is the root for the believers. A reminder. Jumu'ah is to remind the believers that Allah is who we are dependent on. Leave off everything. Leave off everything else. Come to the remembrance of Allah. Then go back and get to work. Once we have settled our hearts, settled what bothers us. Now again, this is not qalb. This is not qalb, which is in line with the physical actions of the heart in terms of movement. And it's not fu'aid, and that's the passion of the heart. There's three different words that Allah uses for heart in the Quran. They all have different ways they're used. This is sadra, and it takes the meaning of chest because Allah is alluding to the motives and the secrets of the feelings inside. Remember, we're talking about an ideology. The motives are a reason for doing something, especially one that is hidden. Continue to push a superior race and enslave another reason. Another is a reason for doing something. But again, doing that means that you are independent, because that is against what a God, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has established for his creation. And it is against what humanity is supposed to do. This is why we bring this out. We are to warn. We are to help those who are stuck in that independence, right? That has them out there on the island all by themselves. It is those beliefs, those principles that have been passed from generation to generation. And it is what they follow is they who follow that narrative want to keep going because they do not know any better. It's all they know. And they have narrow thinking. So it's hard for them to think that it could be different, that it's supposed to be different. I'm going to give you a quick story. And it's going to be, I didn't put the timer on, but I ain't going to bore nobody, inshallah. Quick story. I was on Twitter, and it's an African-American radio host. I can't even think of what state he's in. But he had a caller call in one time and just basically racially berate him. Just went in on him. And I guess over some months later, his daughter gave him and her significant other, male, gave them a baby. Had a baby girl. So this caller calls back in and he says, "Listen," he said, "I called you." He said, "But you have helped me see the light." He said, "I said things about you. I now have a granddaughter who is half African American." And he said, "I would do anything for that girl. He said, "Now I see that I've been living a lie my whole life." He said, "I was wrong." And he said, "I want to thank you for helping me get out of this mess." That's one person. But can you understand that if we're talking about a somebody maybe in his 60s, from the South, how many people he's affected with his attitude? He didn't know any better. He didn't know any better. But Allah tells us that those who have declared dependence on him, follow what has been revealed to you from your Lord. Tabi'ah. It means to follow, pursue, imitate. Just like we are to follow, pursue, and imitate the same ways of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the Quran. Aisha radiallahu anha, upon being asked what the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and remember, I mentioned ideology means a manner or a content of thinking characteristic of an individual, group, or culture. What we are facing is what Allah describes as they will do the same as their fathers have done. Right? This is what we're dealing with. This is what we have to understand we're up against until we learn to establish that it is the Quran that is to be our ideology, and it is the character of us. It is to be our character. Aisha replied, first, have you not read the Quran? For us here right now, followers of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, if we want to truly understand who he is, then we must read the Quran. If we want to live the life that we are created to have, then we must make the Quran our ideology. Everything else has to come after that. That's my point. This document and all these other documents, they have to come after the Quran. We have to have that the character of the Quran inside of us. This, our declaration of dependence to Allah. We cannot fully get whatever benefits are inside of any declaration of independence, any custom, anything like that, until we, if we cannot fully get whatever benefits are inside of the Quran. And we can't get any benefits or anything else until we understand that all dependence is to be on Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, obey me as long as I am here with you. You must hold firmly to the verses of Allah, permit what they permit, and forbid what they forbid. This is backed up by these ayats. Allah says, follow no masters other than him. Little are you admonished. So I choose this expression for the translation for a reason. The word masters. Right? It's been in the news this week. I think I really started last week, but it's been in the news where they're changing the bedroom instead of master bedroom to a large bedroom. Right? And I said, really, keep it as master bedroom. Just give me an opportunity to get into the housing market and you know, start redlining these housing. You call it whatever you want. Because I ain't got to call it master bedroom when I get in, when I move in. They have to correct the language because they have done it in all the systems of knowledge. They have embedded this stuff in everything. And Muhammad, first, and we know that Allah is over all the systems of knowledge, so it's going to be rejected. It's going to have to get kicked out sooner or later, and we know that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a mercy to all systems of knowledge. So this word, wa'ilah, right, this is what they said, masters, and it's most commonly translated friend, protector, you know, wali. That's wali's in that root. And I've gone over this word before during khutbahs. In this context, I believe Allah is telling us not to take anyone else to be over our protection. Not to accept any other master than him. Remember, we're on the topic of an ideology. We have to guard this. This word also means to follow, be near, close to. Allah is telling us that we should not be close to or near anything but him. When it comes to what we're following. Now, this does not mean we do not accept the laws of the land. And that's the real reason why I know you can't hear it on the call, you can't see it on the call, but I wore our flag, our community flag, with the Quran, but I also got the American flag on here. Because I don't want nobody at my door. We are obligated to be peacekeepers. That's in our names. But even the laws of this land say we have a right to fight for our rights. And when those rights are being taken and really never have been fully given, then those rights are what we can only, you know, they only give us rights that we can only be servants. We cannot be landowners. We cannot be those who are in authority due to it being against the nature of some ideology. Then we had no business thinking it was ours before we accepted or started to live our true ideology, the Quran. We should never accept none of that stuff until we accepted the Quran as what is ours. I often find it ironic that one set of people base their freedom on fighting against oppression and seeking to be free to think and enjoy the fruits of their labors, but seem to have such a problem with another set of people who want to be free to think and enjoy the fruit of their labors as well. That's called hypocrisy. When you say the pursuit of happiness, for us that means we are allowed to worship the way we want, when we want, and this means being able to establish communities, businesses, schools. We're not pursuing that. If we're not pursuing that, then how can we call it happiness? Allah says to us, but seek through which that Allah has given you the home of the hereafter, but do not forget your share of this world. But by reading the Quran, we should know that it is not the only thing Allah says in this ayat. I mean, I'm sure a whole lot of people are just guilty of just saying this is what this ayah says. No, it says more. And I want you to look it up. 2877. Read it for yourself. Allah also says, and do good as Allah has done good to you. And desire not corruption in the land. Indeed, Allah does not like corruptors. Having this Quran sent down to us to relieve any constrictions, any narrowing, any problems hidden inside of our hearts is a good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not desire none of the corruption that we have seen in our history for over 400 years and the corruption we have seen throughout the history of man. This is what the Quran has for us. We are to be establishers. When they discussed this weekend, the document, how many times will you hear the terms founding fathers, the architects? My dear brothers and sisters, we are to be the founding fathers and mothers of New Africa. We are to be the architects of Medinas all over the country and all over the world. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, verily Allah has his own people among humanity. And when they asked him who they are, the Prophet said, they are people of the Quran. They are the people of Allah, his chosen ones. If we take the Quran as our ideology, then become those people of Allah. We become those people of Allah because we have been given that right by our Creator. That we pursue a righteous life, deal with others fairly, giving liberty to all. It's because we are all created equally by God, no superior of one over the other, except in deeds. We limit ourselves when we have a race. And look how they use that word, right? We limit ourselves when we have a race and see who does the most when we know we have not started at the same starting line. We know that there has been a head start given to somebody else. The playing field is not level. I can go on all day on some of these things. But we do a disservice to ourselves when we don't recognize that. You know, in horse racing, and I'm not a gambler, but I know in horse racing they have handicaps, right? They have handicaps because they know certain horses have certain things better than others, so they try to even the field out by using handicaps, right? Well, in certain ideologies, there's handicaps given to certain people. But if we understand that we're playing by that we ought to be playing by the rules that Allah has set for us, then those schemes are weak. And as we can see, they are crumbling in front of our own eyes. Allah has told us, see that how many of those before them did we destroy? Generations we have established on earth in strength such as we have not given you. There have been bigger and badder and better empires that have crumbled by Allah than this one here. The shaitan nature thinks too much of itself. But the believer thinks only about Allah. So as I close today's khutbah, and when I opened up with my topic, I mentioned that this came from Imam Muhammad, that the Quran is an ideology. The Imam is telling us that the Quran is a set of shared beliefs for a group. The body of beliefs that influence the way individuals think, how they act, and how they view the world. But we need events like the last 5 months. And these will serve as a reminder to us. And Allah says, in little are you admonished. All right? So, you know, when he says that, then he says, well, I know how to get your attention. I just shut it all down. Everything. The whole world. And I'm sorry. Ain't no man bad enough to do that. I'm sorry. I know it's some crookedness, some satanic natures, but there's no man bad enough to shut the whole world down. I'm sorry. You would have to show me every piece of evidence you got. And I still tell you that it's Allah's will that made it happen. Little do we remember this. And when it is time for the whole world to remember that Allah is in control, it's time for the whole world to remember that. It is Him that should be our master. We have to get back to basics. We had to make a decision to see how much of this I would do today. You know, like I said, I didn't know if it was going to be two parts. I didn't know where I was going to go with it. But I said, I'd just go a little longer today and get it all out. But this thought that the Quran is an ideology will continue. These ayats and the connection to the Declaration of Independence is for today. But this thought pattern is going to continue. And when we hear think Quranically, or we hear Quranic Muslims, then we have to adopt the ideology of the Quran. And over 400 years, this should not be hard to do. We should be willing to try to figure out, well, that ain't working for us. What can work for us? Because we want what Al-Islam promises us. All right? This should be a quiz. I should be like, what does Al-Islam promise us? And, you know, if this wasn't Juma, I'd ask for answers. And that is freedom, justice, and equality. All right? And we can find that in the Quran. All we have to do is make the Quran our ideology. Now, inshallah, I have given something to benefit of the day, which all praise is due to Allah. And if there's any errors, of course, I am responsible for.